this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, hirsutism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, hirsutism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge. Hi everyone, this is Sasha Adi. Hi everyone, this is Sasha Adi, and we're having a little bit of technical difficulty today. But we're back on, and our show today is about depression and PCOS, and we have Dr. Gretchen Kubacki, and she's a licensed clinical psychologist with a private practice in West Los Angeles. She is a doctorate in clinical psychology with an emphasis on counseling individuals and couples who are dealing with infertility, PCOS, diabetes, and other endocrine disorders. Also, being a PCOS patient who's dealing with type 2 diabetes, hypothyroidism, and infertility enables her to be especially skilled and passionate about helping patients with similar issues learn how to live happier, healthier lives and achieve a better balance in their mood and functioning. Dr. Kubacki is a professional member of the American Society of Reproductive Medicine, Resolve, the National Infertility Association, and INSIST. She is also a member of PCOS Challenge and a number of other organizations serving people with endocrine disorders. She believes that successfully coping with the complexities of PCOS often includes the need to process grief and loss for health body functioning, for healthy body functioning, change relationships, unexpected restrictions and complications that limit possibilities. We are happy to have Dr. Kubacki on today. Hi, Dr. Kubacki.
Happy to be on with you.
Ah, thanks. And you know, depression is a very, very serious condition, and it seems to go hand in hand with PCOS for many people.
Yeah.
So what do you think are the most helpful ways to deal with depression for a newly diagnosed person with PCOS?
For someone who's newly diagnosed with depression or just with PCOS?
With PCOS.
With PCOS. Well, the first thing is to talk with your doctor about what sort of emotional symptoms you're having and if those things need to be assessed further to see if you actually are experiencing depression. Sometimes you are experiencing a lot of negative feelings or down sorts of feelings, but they're not actually depression. So it's really important to know if you're having some mood issues that are sort of general, or if they really do mean something more serious, which is what we call depression. So the first
okay.
thing to start is with the main doctor that you're working with on your PCOS, and then get referrals if you need to.
Yeah, so your main doctor, probably your gynecologist or primary care physician, would give you a referral to a psychologist?
There are many different mental health professionals that can help with diagnosing and assessing depression and treating depression. Those include psychologists like me, or there could actually be social workers or marriage and family therapists that are all qualified to treat people with depression.
Okay.
And also
and
psychiatrists, although most of the time now psychiatrists are usually just managing medication. And sometimes medication is part of what you need to do for depression if that's part of what you're dealing with.
Okay. And you have PCOS. You were diagnosed.
Yes, I have PCOS.
So what did you do to cope with your own PCOS diagnosis?
I have done a lot of things. For me, the main thing that I've done is to seek out a really well-qualified medical team, like the best people that I know about, by asking doctors that I trust who they think are the most qualified to deal with PCOS. And I've taken what I call a patient-active kind of stance.
Mm.
So I do things like being part of PCOS Challenge or looking at the INCIST blog and that sort of thing to get really educated about what the latest, newest treatments might be, what sort of things are tied into PCOS that I need to be alert for both me as a patient and also for me as a professional dealing with it. So I am very active and aggressive even about seeking really good care, asking questions, demanding the time that I need from my physicians. And I also have decided for me the best thing to do is not always to 100% follow medical advice. And I say that with a caution, which is I think you should always follow medical advice, but sometimes your doctors just don't know the all of the details of the latest treatments, and I'm thinking specifically of all of the information about nutrition and PCOS. And that's such a rich part of the treatment, but in medical school, most doctors don't get very much education in nutrition, so I might have to be the ones educating them, bringing in an article and saying, hey, this is what I'm reading about fish oil. So
yeah, yeah.
Those are the kinds of things. I'm aggressive.
Yeah, and I noticed that you did blog on PCOSChallenge.com earlier this week when there were people complaining about awful treatment they received in at their doctor's office or in the hospital.
Yeah.
So how can a patient deal with a situation like that where they feel like the doctor is not really listening or not really open to other treatment methods for PCOS?
Mm-hmm. I think that the first thing that you have to do is really kind of stop and assess it for a minute when you're experiencing that sort of situation. And I pulled all of those quotes from my own personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I have definitely been through a number of doctors. And it's important to have consistency with your doctors, but it's also important if they're not responding and they're consistently not responding to change doctors. I know in some place like Los Angeles, which is where I am, I have quite a bit of choice, and sometimes that's not always the case. So when you don't have the ability to change doctors easily, or you've already tried the only other doctor in town who's sort of qualified to treat your PCOS, I think it's important to sit down and schedule a consultation appointment with the doctor and talk about what your relationship is going to be like. And what I mean about the relationship is to say to your doctor, look, I have a complicated condition, I'm going to require ongoing treatment, and this is how I need it to work for us.
Mm.
So again, mm-hmm. being pretty upfront, which I know is a hard thing for people to do sometimes with doctors, because we treat doctors as if they are authorities, and they are experts and authorities, but they're also equals in a relationship. I mean, you have to have a partnership with your doctor. You have to have a partnership with your dietitian, and you have to be able to trust them and be able to talk to them. So if they're really, really not able to, then it may be necessary to change doctors or even to go a little bit out of the area to get the kind of treatment that you need.
Yeah, those are great points. And so for you, how has your attitude changed over the long term?
Since I was diagnosed.
Since you were diagnosed, yes.
I was not diagnosed officially until I was probably about 30, and I started having a lot of gynecological problems. I had some sense of something being off, and I have to say that's when I had a lot of the negative experiences.
Mm.
For me, a lot of it went back to the issues around the inability to lose weight and what arose around them. So I dealt with a lot of frustration, a lot of really low body image, low self-esteem, that sort of thing, you know, when I was a teenager and developing physically and all of those kinds of things. So over time, I have gotten a lot stronger, not only professionally because I've entered into a field where I get to learn a lot about this and talk about it a lot,
mm-hmm.
Which kind of empowers me in one way because I get to help people, but also it's helped me learn more about what my options are, and I know what doctors know and what doctors don't know, and there's just no way they can know everything.
That's important to stress. There's no way that they can know everything, and that's why there are different professionals that are stronger in other areas.
Exactly.
Yes.
And if you've been dealing with PCOS for a while, eventually you'll end up with an endocrinologist and a reproductive endocrinologist, most mm-hmm. likely. And if you talk to the reproductive endocrinologist about something like dealing with diabetes that has come out of PCOS, they're going to refer you right back to the endocrinologist because they only
right.
want to talk about their one specific little area.
Right.
And the thing is to have, as patients, to be really responsible for your medical care. Not that you have to be able to talk like a doctor, but to sort of know the basics of how the condition works and your biology, what affects it, knowing how when you eat a certain way or you exercise, what happens. Because you are the expert on
yeah.
your condition. I always tell my patients that. They are the expert, not me. I don't live inside their bodies.
True, very true. Now, you believe that successfully coping with PCOS also includes the need to process grief and
yes.
loss.
Yes.
How does this relate to PCOS?
I think it relates strongly to PCOS for a variety of reasons. When you have PCOS, you're not normal anymore. I mean, I don't actually believe in the condition called normal anyway, as a therapist, but your body's not functioning as it was ideally meant to be functioning. There is always going to be something that's off a little bit hormonally, no matter how good of medical management you have, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a loss of some functioning for a lot of women. It's loss of fertility, and that's a really, really huge thing. Or it's loss of being able to reproduce without getting involved with assisted reproductive technology. So there is a loss of the emotional connection or the romanticism about making a baby. There's a loss of that idea of perfect health, especially for someone who gets diagnosed when they're younger, as a teenager in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
All their friends are like, woohoo, you know, I'm 18, let's go out and party. And you're dealing with a condition where you have some much more uncomfortable side effects if you do things like drink too much or eat the wrong foods or you don't get enough sleep. And so it's that there can be some loss of kind of youthful functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And the depression part of it or the anxiety part of it can be really huge too. So you're just not in quite a normal state all the time.
Right.
But I think all of those things, for different people, need to be grieved. They don't necessarily need to be grieved with a professional, but I think it's an issue worth considering because unprocessed grief is often underlying depression.
Wow.
As well as
I think, yeah, that's a profound statement right there because a lot of people don't even realize that they're going through a grieving process and then it manifests itself in, you know, depression, anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And there's also, I could get into some really small details, but there is the loss of time and the loss of money associated with this condition, too. I recall a month in which I had 22 doctor's appointments.
Wow.
And I was in my early 30s at the time. I had to take time off from work for a couple of hours every day. There were all sorts of worries about what was actually going on with me. That was right about the time when I was really getting into learning a lot about PCOS.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost a fortune. You know, my peers don't even have insurance sometimes, and I run through my deductible by the middle of every year because
wow.
of PCOS.
Yeah, so, you know, people don't even really get into that, but it's true. And
yeah.
I think even if you're not trying to get pregnant and, you know, IVF and all that doesn't come into play for you, you still are going to a number of doctor's appointments, different doctors,
mm-hmm.
nutritionists, you know, some types of medical professionals don't even accept insurance, so you're paying out of pocket. So that is a great, great point.
Yeah, for a lot of the specialists, like the really kind of what I call extreme specialists,
mm-hmm.
they don't take insurance. So you have to
right.
pay them up front and then submit it to insurance and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not what you want to happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and that is kind of hard because it sometimes leaves me thinking, well, am I really getting the absolute best medical treatment, or am I limited to a certain circle of people who will take my insurance? But those are the kinds of choices we have to make that can also leave us feeling some sense of loss about the possibilities. And I think because this disease never resolves really, there's
yeah.
always that desire to keep looking for the next thing. Well, maybe this nutritional supplement, maybe this form of exercise as opposed to that form of exercise. Maybe if I just do this, it'll get better.
True, very true.
Which is all admirable, and I definitely do that myself. I'm always looking and always seeking, but it can be really wearing on you.
Yeah, yeah. It's very time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you yourself go to a support group?
I have been to a support group that we have here at one of the local hospitals, and it was fairly redundant for me because I'm so immersed in PCOS. So there are things that I can learn, but I'll actually probably end up speaking as a professional to that group.
Right. And
yeah.
so do you think that other women who aren't so involved would benefit from a support group or support system?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely think that support groups can be wonderful for anyone who's dealing with any sort of chronic condition. I strongly recommend them to all of my patients. And I think with PCOS, because there is so much information and so much subtlety and nuance
mm-hmm.
in the information, that it's very helpful to have a network of friends and peers and people who can say, hey, this doctor was really kind and respectful, or this nutritionist really knows what she's doing when it comes to PCOS patients. So those kinds of referrals that you get when you're with other people, and also just the emotional support. When I was at that group and they found out that I have a subspecialty in infertility, they wanted information about infertility. It's a very hot topic for women with PCOS.
Absolutely.
And so just finding out that there's somebody else that has been like you and, you know, spent half of their life savings on professional hair removal and can't get pregnant and whatever.
Yeah, it's, you name it.
It's helpful. It's really, really helpful to know you're not alone because we try and hide this condition.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, I don't have some of the symptoms. You know, I have no idea if I'm infertile or not. Haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is refreshing, you know, when I go to PCOSChallenge.com or read some of the NCIS blogs, to find more and more information about things that, you know, I may possibly encounter, or, you know, just for that support, that type of support
mm-hmm.
is very important. There are days when people come there extremely depressed, and the responses that they get from, you know, to their blogs, I can tell it really helps them. So,
I absolutely think so. There's nothing quite like having somebody who's been in the same place as you giving you some hope and some inspiration that you're going to be able to get through it, okay, and that it doesn't necessarily get worse. It just sort of settles in and is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good
absolutely.
Reminder when you're feeling really depressed about the condition.
Yeah, it's, you know, especially people who are newly diagnosed and have these new emotions in response to the diagnosis, or, you know, it's very helpful to have people who are, quote unquote, experienced in dealing with this to help others along.
Right, and there's also kind of phases of PCOS, I think, which is the newly diagnosed and then the kind of settling into it and then the living long term with it. And they kind of go with phases in our reproductive life as well. So there are very different issues you might be dealing with when you're 20 as opposed to when you're 40.
Mm, yeah.
So it's good to find peers.
True.
Also.
Very, very true. So how do you keep moving forward with your life? What phase are you in right now?
Well, I'm in the over 40, infertile, and been living with it for a really long time phase. For me, a lot of what has come out of it is that it led me down this path professionally. I'm so fascinated with what the hormones do to our brains and our functioning, and so I study it, and that helps me feel like I have some control over it.
Yeah, I
think that's something that non-psychological professionals can do too, but just take a look at the studies, see what's on the internet. There's an amazing amount of information, because it can feel like a disease or a condition that's really out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't see it like you would see a wart growing on your fingertip, and then you go to the dermatologist and you get it removed. This is internal, and it shifts and changes all the time.
It does. And so I know you mentioned the dealing with it. What about the people who just get overwhelmed from all the information? There are lots of different ways to treat lots of different things. Not everyone has the same symptoms, and people get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So how do you suggest that they cope with this?
I actually think that some of the best resources are probably PCOS Challenge and INSYST on the web, mm-hmm. because the web is full of an overwhelming amount of information. And if you do a Google search on PCOS, you're going to get hundreds of hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to kind of look for the larger resources and look for the ones that involve a peer group, because even I get bored with reading scientific studies. And
yep.
truthfully, if you're not educated in how to read a scientific study, they can be really scary and intimidating.
Yes.
And not really very helpful, actually.
Yeah, if you don't understand the technical academic terms, you know, it's not helpful to you.
Even I read them, and they're 30 pages long, and they're full of jargon, and I just don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can only imagine how a layperson would feel trying to slog through some of that stuff.
Absolutely. So now, how has this changed you as a person and your outlook on life?
Wow, that's a good question. PCOS has changed me a lot. It's taught me that I am the primary person responsible for my sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely not going to come from outside. And for me, it's not going to come from the inside unless I work really hard on it. It's a regrettable truth that when you have PCOS, tending to the condition requires a lot of your energy. And the only way for me that I know that I'm really going to feel well most of the time is if I do things like getting the right amount of sleep and working out every day and eating the right kind of diet that really supports my nutritional needs that are particular to PCOS and to type 2 diabetes, and in going and getting support and therapy if I need it, journaling about it. All those sorts of things are the things that I have to make time for in my life in order to feel well all the time.
Oh,
so
wow.
It made me be very aware of the fact that I can't, I hate to use the word normal again, but I can't just be like the normal person who runs around and eats and drinks whatever they want and, you know, then feels okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know if I eat, you know, if I drink something containing sugar, it's going to mess up my balance, and it's going to make me feel lousy for 3 or 4 hours or more. And so I've learned that that's not worth it to me. So it's changed me a lot, and it's made me more more proactive. I'm a big educator about PCOS. I'm strongly supportive and very into empowering women to really you know, get into figuring out what works best for their own rhythms and their own needs.
Yeah, that's great. So if you would offer one piece of advice or words of hope for PCOS patients, what would it be?
My advice would be to learn yourself, and my hope would be that you can learn yourself, and that there are so many resources now that I hope for you as a newly diagnosed person or someone who's just getting immersed in learning how to deal with this condition, you can find the resources a lot more quickly than I was able to. It took me a lot of years to pull it together. But when you do figure out what works for you as an individual, because every case of PCOS is just a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
you will feel a lot better physically
mm-hmm.
and emotionally.
That's great. So let's talk about feelings.
Okay.
Many patients with PCOS are frustrated and confused,
yeah.
angry, and wondering how could their doctors have missed this for so many years. What do you advise people who to do with these feelings?
I advise people to talk about them because,
mm-hmm.
of course, I love talk therapy, being a therapist, but it really is true that getting it out of you is helpful. And again, this is about knowing who you are and what really helps you. For some people, getting quiet, getting introspective, doing some writing or maybe some blogging on the topic is really helpful. But when you are angry, confused, and frustrated, usually you need to express it.
Mm-hmm.
So talking to friends, talking to anyone that you know that has it, which is why resources like the online stuff with PCOS Challenge are so helpful because you get feedback. It's not the sort of thing most people are going to tell you about. I don't start a conversation saying, "Hi, I'm Dr. Gretchen and I have PCOS." You know, I've actually
thought, yeah.
Maybe I would actually because I'm not really very shy. And I want to talk about PCOS, but most people don't, and so even
And actually, a lot of people I find are ashamed to even mention PCOS.
Oh yes, especially the hair problem is the biggest pain point.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of get clued into a lot of people, and I can actually recognize a PCOS body type quite often now. But you know, these things, the feelings associated with this condition are really, really horrible when you work out like a fiend, you eat properly, you simply cannot lose weight no matter what you do, and you've got these secret little hairy spots, sometimes aren't so secret, and you don't know that there's actually a disease associated with it. You just think there's something wrong with you. And so that's pretty awful and pretty frustrating. And I think with doctors missing it, I think we're getting better at educating about it, but the more we talk about it, the more aware medical professionals are going to be about it and how it presents in different women. For example, 70% of women with PCOS are not overweight.
I always think that they miss a lot of the lean women with PCOS. It's very difficult to find these women or diagnose these women if they're thinking that, okay, well, if they're immediately associating obesity or being overweight with PCOS.
Yes. And I think a lot of the PCOS literature that has existed to this point, they're starting to talk more about the lean PCOS or the skinny PCOS.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it has been directed towards the overweight female.
Yeah. And actually, I went to a conference a few months back with some endocrinologists, and they stated that they simply don't get lean women with PCOS in their offices.
They're not looking for it.
No. And the thing is, I think that a lot of, you know, to get to an endocrinologist, most people have to be referred. And if the primary care physician or the gynecologist aren't looking for PCOS in lean women, then the endocrinologists aren't going to see them.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, there are, you have to keep in mind that there are medical biases.
Yeah.
And I could go into a lot of horrifying studies about the overdiagnosis of certain psychological conditions in certain segments of the population, but there's really kind of like a fat bias, like a pro-fat bias in diagnosing PCOS, and that does a disservice to a lot of women who are not overweight. It's just, it's like when you are of the middle class, it's very rare for your gynecologist to automatically test you for sexually transmitted diseases.
It's
a bias that exists, and it's so embedded that it's something, if you're concerned about it, you need to question it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we may have a caller with a question,
okay.
So.
Hello?
Hi, caller from area code 631.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, I just actually have three questions.
Okay.
I had to listen to the show because I realized it was a lot about, like, depression and everything. So I said, well, the one question is, being that, you know, you said there are support groups and everything, is there on the site specifically where you could, you know, research where they are in your area, or you just go to, like, any therapist or whatever, and, you know, because most therapists wouldn't, like, relate to that, you know?
Let Sasha answer that first in terms of the technicals of can you search by geography or zip code or something like that. Is that possible?
Well, there on PCOSChallenge.com, you can go. Are you a member?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you can go and you can search for people in your area. Do you want to search for doctors?
I've tried searching for doctors, and I think what it gave me, well, it gave me a few information, but it didn't give me, like, what I really needed. So, when you brought up the whole idea of, you know, having support groups and everything, I said, well, okay, that'll help, you know. So I figured there must be a way on there to look for the support groups and, you know, besides talking to the actual people directly online. You know.
Okay. Yeah. So there, I think what Dr. Gretchen and I were referring to were the actual online support groups.
And
she was referring to a local support group that she went to at a hospital, right?
Okay.
So if you speak to your primary care physician or your therapist, if you have a therapist, maybe they're aware of certain support groups in your area. But just send me, when we get off, you can send me an email, and I'll try to help you find one in your area.
Okay. I'll do that, definitely.
Good to ask a therapist. I have to say there are not many therapists who specialize in PCOS or endocrine disorders. I happen to have a huge passion for it, which is why I do it. But even in a place as large as Los Angeles, I don't actually know anyone else who does precisely what I do.
Okay.
And even in Los Angeles, I've only found one hospital-sponsored support group, which is in a place as huge as Los Angeles.
Wow.
Shocking.
Yeah.
So probably I will start a support group in another part of Los Angeles at some point. But I think it's something to start asking for, and if you have an endocrinologist, to also ask if he or she is familiar with anyone who has some sort of specialty in that.
Okay.
Yes, and
now,
I was going to say that PCOS Challenge, there's a local support group in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area, and we're starting one somewhere in, I think, Northern California and also in West Michigan. So, yeah. So there are more support groups popping up, but you just have to know where to look for them. Because I think the PCOS community is somewhat an underserved community when it comes to support.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I hope that we can, with some education and awareness, make it a better supported community because it affects so many women.
It does.
And
you have... Okay, so you have another question or
yes,
two other
I
questions?
Yes, I had another one. Well, you had also said something about endocrinology.
Yes.
And the endocrinologist I had to get rid of him only because he seemed to not want to listen to what was going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to another one. She's not an endocrinologist, but she's just a gynecologist. She seems to so far understand what's been going on, and she's been a little bit more, you know, sympathetic to, like, okay, this medication's not working, this is not doing fine, we'll try this, you know. Although she feels that, you know, maybe, like, maybe one medication would have totally solved the problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's others out there that can work.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, I mean, if that's, you know, a person that really, you know, helps, do I need to see an endocrinologist?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mind seeing one because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've been bouncing all over the place, and so far, you know, I thought this endocrinologist would have been a little bit sympathetic, you know, not listening, so I had to change. And so far, you know, this is the only person who has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the same token, I'm not exactly sure if, you know, I still need one. You know, if I need
I think
then.
That you can quite possibly manage effectively without seeing an endocrinologist. For me, because I have multiple hormonal and endocrine conditions going on, it's really essential to my health and well-being that I actually see an endocrinologist, like because I have type 2 diabetes also, so she manages that. But if you are purely dealing with PCOS, I really think the most important thing with your medical providers is to have someone that you can talk to on your team. They all know the same basic things about medication, and unfortunately, it is a lot of trial and error to find what works for you best. And if you feel reasonably well contained with what's going on with you medically, and it sounds like she's somebody you feel comfortable enough with that you could say, do you think I need to go see an endocrinologist also?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, get a referral.
Okay.
Yeah. And you said you had three questions. Was there another question?
Yes. The other one, I think, was generally just, I think it was based on just the whole website and, you know, contacting and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I will definitely email Sasha and, you know,
great.
Let her know.
Okay. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Okay, there's another question.
Okay.
Area code 803, do you have a question for Dr. Gretchen?
Yes. I was listening to everything y'all was talking about, and it was kind of got me emotional because I just remember when I first got diagnosed, it was about a couple years ago, and I had was just going back and forth to the doctor, and especially my gynecologist. She happened to diagnose me because I forgot to take care of my facial hair one day, and she saw it, and that's when she told me I had PCOS, and she gave me a handout and some prescription for birth control, metformin, and things like that, and was like, okay, you have PCOS, take this, and pretty much sent me on my way. But I took it upon myself to do the research. So I found out, you know, let me just go get tested, and I contacted the endocrinologist, and that's when they ruled out everything and found out I have a PCOS. But my question is, why is it? And I think that the frustrating thing about it is, why is it that a lot of people don't know about it? Because when I try to talk to my friends about it, they just look at me like it's all in my head. And I think that's the biggest thing that I deal with.
That's a really big question, and I'm sure Sasha has some answers to it also. But I think it's one of those conditions that, like we were just talking about, I don't know if you heard the part of the call about the people, the lean PCOS, like, or the skinny
right.
PCOS. I think that there's still a lot of doctors that think that you can't have PCOS if you're thin. I think that they change the criteria for diagnosis periodically, and that it's something that has symptoms that can overlap with a lot of other things. And I also think that we women who have it hide it really well. You know, I used to shave off all my little chin hairs, and so a doctor would never have seen that I actually had the excess hair growing there. And a lot of times if they don't see it, they don't ask about it. And if you don't bring it up, they don't ask about it. And so it just goes unnoticed for a long time. And that's why a lot of women don't get diagnosed until they try to get pregnant, and they can't. Because you may just think, oh, well, you know, I probably ate too many brownies. I just can't seem to get rid of this 10 pounds or whatever. And We blame ourselves and we try to take responsibility for it when sometimes there's something just really off in our bodies. So it's a combination of factors. You can't really say one thing more than the other, I don't think. But I don't know. What do you think, Sasha?
Yeah, I think a lot of us hide it because even when I was first diagnosed, there was a feeling of, you know, shame. There's so many women, even on the PCOSChallenge.com site, who are ashamed. They express that they feel ashamed about whatever symptom they have, you know, ashamed that they're infertile, ashamed that they have hirsutism, and they hide it from people. Some women hide their facial hair from their husbands. So Dr. Gretchen made a good point when, you know, she said that people just don't talk about it. So if people don't talk about it, and it's amazing because it affects 1 in 10 women. So if you have 10 women lined up, at least one person, or probably even more, will have PCOS, and either she doesn't know about it, or if that person doesn't know about it, then it's guaranteed that the other people don't know about it either. So it's not, well, a lot of people just simply don't know about it because other women with it hide it. And people will come to PCOSChallenge.com for support or go to Insist for information, but, you know, they're not talking to their families and friends. And Dr. Gretchen and I are going to go into how to deal with family and friends. But I think that's the reason people don't know about it. And that's the reason I started PCOSChallenge.com, because even if you do talk to your parents or your friends, they kind of, you know, they want to support you, but they have no idea.
No idea
what you're actually going through. So that's why I think Dr. Gretchen, being a therapist, a psychologist, and she's able to actually identify with what people are going through, I think that's great. But of course, not every medical professional we go to will actually have the disorder. However, it's a lot of medical professionals are becoming more understanding of what it is that women are actually going through. And if people express to their doctors, express to their nutritionists what it is like, that helps you with in the long run, because that helps the medical professionals to learn more about what women actually go through when they have the disorder.
Feedback. And the other thing that came to mind when you were talking is, why don't our doctors know about this sooner? Why does it take so long to get diagnosed?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women only go to the doctor once a year, if that, and they go see their gynecologist for a pap smear and a breast exam, and they're out of there as fast as they can get out of the door.
Right.
And so gynecologists should be very, very aware of PCOS symptoms, but a lot of times women just are not making it into the doctor. And if you don't see a doctor on a regular basis who's going to ask you a bunch of questions about what's going on with your life and your body, it's highly likely to get missed.
I know right before I got diagnosed, I was going to my gynecologist on the regular because my periods were getting so bad that I had to leave work early, and you know how they have the little speed bumps in the parking lot. Even when I drove over the speed bumps, I just used to feel all of that. I used to call my mom. I'm like, you know what? I'm about to give myself a hysterectomy. I just got to that part that bad. So I just knew. I knew something was wrong, and when I visited her, I used to sleep all day, and she was like, you know, something's not right. You know, you're too young just to be sleeping. I mean, I just used to sleep the whole time that I visited her.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just knew something wasn't right. So, I mean, I was glad I got diagnosed and I took everything.
I'm glad you found PCOS Challenge, too. It sounds like it's all
good
support.
And, you know, one thing that I can say is, educate your friends and family about it. I know, you know, some men, they don't want to hear the word ovary or, you know. But,
oh, yeah.
But
yep.
<it's>,
yeah.
or, you know, anything to do with a period, they run. But tell your friends exactly what you learn. And, you know, tell them how they can better support you. Tell your family members how they can better support you. Because I think that's important. Because a lot of friends and family members, they just don't know how. They don't know what exactly is going on with us. And even if we tell them, they haven't truly experienced it for themselves. So if you tell them, well, this is what I need, can you just listen, or whatever you need from the person, I think it will be helpful if you actually let people know and tell them about your symptoms, to educate them,
mm-hmm.
so that more people are aware of what goes on.
Yeah.
I actually started a support group in my area, in the Charlotte, North Carolina area.
Excellent.
So far,
okay.
I have 16 members. And kind of excited about that. It's kind of new for me because I'm pretty much a sideline person, but I step in when I need to, but, you know.
That was me. I'm pretty shy. But, you know, it needs to be done. We need to be our own advocates. We need to get the word out. We need to educate people.
And the more the word gets out about this and it becomes apparent to, again, unfortunately, and this becomes a political issue, is there money in this disease?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, any woman who's gotten diagnosed with PCOS is highly likely to be taking at least metformin.
Oh, God, yes.
Quite possibly birth control pills, mm-hmm. and quite possibly, depending on what else is going on with you, one or two other medications. So is money in this, and drug companies should be researching it, and other medical researchers should also be researching it because it's so common. But it's
right.
They don't know how common it is unless we start talking about it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
So, Dr. Gretchen, let's go into the whole family aspect of PCOS. Okay. Deal other people. How do you deal with other people and when you have PCOS? A lot of women blog on the PCOSChallenge.com website about how depressing it is when they go to family functions because, you know, their little children are running around and other people are asking them, well, when are you going to get pregnant? You know, so and I think people don't really understand how hurtful those words can be to someone who is experiencing infertility or subfertility. How do you deal with those questions? How do you respond to people?
That's kind of a two-part question, but the first part about just simply dealing with family in reference to this disease, again, goes back to education, because there are a lot of things where you might end up having restrictions, you might need to take medication, you might need to eat certain foods or at certain times, and you really need to let people know that you're not just being difficult, that you're actually taking care of a chronic disease, and that you are doing your best to feel well so that you'll be able to feel well with them. So that's one part in dealing with it, and just letting people know that even though this is for the most part invisible, doesn't mean that it's not serious. And also for you to kind of learn yourself and know, like, if your period is coming on and you know that you get pretty irritable, well, PCOS is probably going to make that a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to let people around you know as much as you can comfortably about why you might be behaving the way that you're behaving, and that'll make them feel more comfortable, and they won't just think, wow, she's spoiled, she needs this and that, or gosh, she's moody.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it's about. Sometimes it really is completely out of your control. The second part about dealing with people who ask that hideous, hideous question of when are you going to get pregnant, or when are you going to give us some grandchildren, is a really, really hard one, and I think you kind of have to get into that aggressive but non-emotional stance as much as is possible and just kind of step back from it and explain that you have a medical condition that makes that difficult.
Yeah.
And say that it's not, you know, if it's true that it's not a choice, I mean, many women with PCOS do not want to have children.
Right.
And that's an okay choice, too. But if you do want to have children and you're trying to get pregnant or you've tried, and you feel comfortable, again, you know, you're not under any obligation to reveal anything about your medical life and history to anyone that you don't want to, but sometimes that will shut people up, is just to say, hey, I can't have children.
awkward. You know?
What are they going to say to that? It really depends on your relationship with who's asking. I also love the Dear Abby old-time favorite of, oh, why are you asking me that question? If you're dealing with, you know, your family, it's a little bit harder to get away with that. But if I say, well, hey, when are you going to pop out a kid? Why are you asking me that question?
So is this how you've dealt with it with your, because I'm sure you've also gotten this question. Is that how you've dealt with family members and friends who ask you these questions?
I decided when I was very, very young, like 5, that I didn't want children.
Okay.
No one ever asked me that question, but when I decided I did want children, no one realized that I wanted them because I didn't talk about it and I knew it was going to be a problem because of PCOS. So for me, when people have asked, oh, do you have kids? It depends on who it is and what my mood is, frankly. Mm-hmm. I will sometimes be in an educational mood, and I'll say, no, I don't. I have PCOS, and it means I can't have children without going through a lot of expensive and painful and complicated assisted reproductive technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made the choice not to do that right now.
Okay.
For me, being upfront is important also because it's part of who I am just as a person, but it's also who I am professionally, which is that I'm very open. I mean, I just realized I've told the entire nation that I'm infertile. So, I'm pretty open. I'm not shy about this. But I think it's important because more often than not, when I say something like that, I will discover a whole lot of other people who have a friend with PCOS or they themselves have struggled with infertility or those sorts of things, and so there's a bonding point, and again, you get some support out of it when you can be open about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, another huge relationship that PCOS might affect is your the relationship with your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Or how, what type of, this is a two-part question.
Okay.
How can the woman with PCOS learn to better deal with whatever is going on with her in her relationship? And two, how can the spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend deal with what's going on with the woman with PCOS in their relationship?
Okay, advice for the spouse or partner. great question. How can you cope with what's going on in your relationship as it relates to PCOS? Your partner really needs to be educated about what's going on. If at all possible, take him or her to a doctor's appointment or two with you. Let them ask questions. Again, do it as a consultation appointment because one of the best things I've learned, like my favorite medical trick, is doctors are often scheduling you in 10-minute slots, but if you ask for a consultation appointment, you get half an hour.
Wow. That's a great trick.
Don't tell anyone. I mean, obviously, you need a legitimate reason to do that, but there are also appropriate ways to get enough time, and there's rarely enough time in a standard appointment. So if you know how your doctor runs, do that. So I think, and doctors always will welcome in somebody that you want to bring in to get educated in terms of how to support you. And again, if they're not welcoming that, then they may not be the right doctor for you. But I think with, you need to be really upfront with your spouse. And I know if it's a man, they don't want to hear about ovaries and hormones and blood flow and who knows what else. This is really important if they're living with you or if they're dating you. Because there are going to be things where, you know, you've got to take a metformin pill twice a day maybe. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be like, gosh, does she chronically have a headache? You know, you need to let them know that there's something going on with you medically and you're handling it. But you also need to let them know when you can't handle it. Because sometimes it gets just so depressing and overwhelming. There are too many pills to take, too many doctor's appointments to go to, too many things you can and can't do. And it's just, it's too much sometimes.
Yeah.
So, again, being really as upfront as you feel comfortable, being, but also giving them some education, because there's this tendency to go, ooh, women's plumbing, really complicated, and now you're adding in a whole level of, like, these free-floating hormones that are doing, and it just, it's so scary, especially to a man.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship. So I definitely advocate kind of, get them a little bit involved to increase the sensitivity level. If you're involved with another woman, or if you're dealing with a girlfriend, like a really close friend or something, she will surely know something about hormone functioning.
Right.
So, again, just talking about it and how, different things will impact. And especially if you're talking about women who live together, cycles do impact on other women's cycles. There's always kind of a lead female in the household. And sometimes that's thrown off if you're on birth control pills. So that can affect dynamics, too. And that's where this gets really complicated and interesting. And life can get a little bit difficult. As far as advice for spouses or partners when they're dealing with a patient who has PCOS, I would really, really strongly suggest get educated. Spend some time on these websites we've been talking about today, the PCOS Challenge and the INSYST, and just kind of get a sense of what it's really, really like. What's going on in the woman in your life? There is nothing quite like dropping in on women's conversation to find out what's really going on and to get a quick education. And that'll, increase the sensitivity, because it is something where you've got to be accommodating sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Is there ever, I'm sure with the couples that you deal with, is there ever a time when a spouse or partner can get so overwhelmed that he or she may not be able to handle it?
Oh, absolutely. I happen to be kind of, I wanted to be a physician before I became a psychologist, so I love medical stuff. It just gets me very excited. But a lot of people get freaked out by it. A lot of people cannot stand to watch the plastic surgery shows. They faint at the sight of blood.
Yeah.
They do not want to go to the doctor. And especially, again, if you're talking about men, they'll often avoid the doctor for 5 years.
Yeah.
The women are a little bit different in that regard. So when they can't deal with it, then they need to let you know. And then you unfortunately do have to look elsewhere for support.
Yes.
You've got to be you each have to be sensitive to the other's needs, and for some of us, we just can't cope with the medical stuff, and it's the way some of us are built.
And what about coping with mood swings and depression when it comes to your spouse?
When you're the one who's experiencing the mood swings and depression? Or
Well, yes, the spouse will experience the mood swing.
Okay. When I'm having a PCOS-related mood swing, I make it fairly obvious. My normally outgoing, cheerful personality gets a little bit grumpy and withdrawn, so that is readily apparent to those who know me well. But, again, I would say, I'm just really irritable, and I changed medications recently. Theoretically, my period is due next week, and this is all just making me cranky. Maybe you should sit on the other end of the couch tonight. I use humor.
Yeah.
A little humor if that's part of your nature. But again, being upfront, because it's better to say, I'm not feeling well, I'm not feeling sociable, and it's not you.
Yeah.
It's often really useful.
And then for the person who's hearing these words, to be understanding.
Yes. It is helpful to try and be as understanding as possible, and again, that gets back to the education component. Get on the website and look at the I forget the title of the coping with depression part that you have on your website.
Coping with depression.
I think it's called coping with depression.
Yes.
Get on that part if your wife or girlfriend is dealing with depression, and also read some generalized information about depression just so you can see it's really It's a dark feeling. It's uncontrollable. It is overwhelming. It can overtake you at a moment's notice, and it can really radically shift your life in a negative way. It's not just a matter of, oh, well, I'm feeling cranky or I'm feeling down. I mean, sometimes people really drop very far down. And so
yeah.
Know that.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Gretchen, we have so many other things that we wanted to cover today, but of course this is a huge topic. And we didn't get to cover some of the things that we wanted to, but we'll definitely have to have you back on for that.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure, and I'm happy to give any further feedback.
Thank you very much for being here, and yeah, we'll definitely have to schedule you for another show.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
Okay, very nice talking to you.
Thank you, Sasha.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. Also, be sure to join our social network at PCOSChallenge.com and sign up for our newsletter. This is Sasha Ati. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.